If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Welcome to the Completely Unnecessary Podcast, post Labor Day edition for September 3rd, Tuesday, 2019, alongside my pal and partner Ian Ferguson. I am Pat Contry.
You are.
We'll be talking about lots of fun stuff like Disney Lion King combo retro gaming pack, Retrobit re-releases, Evercade arcade handheld, the Switch covert dock. Sounds like something else could be. The really mind-boggling NBA 2K My Team gambling trailer. And a Patreon poll topic. Real quick, we got a t-shirt, Ian.
We do.
And more than a t-shirt. Sticker. Hoodie.
Hoodie.
You got 3 weeks left. Go to teespring.com/my-man-cu podcast. Unfortunately, it's not all one word, but it's my-man.cu podcast, and you can order this nice shirt there. There's 3 weeks left on it. It's Pat as Cyborg Man and Ian as the man from Atlantis, Aquaman.
That's right. There.
With his flowing locks. Your hair is about 4 feet long in that.
Oh yeah, it's massive.
You should go for that nice orange hair there. Well, you got a reddish tint in your hair. You have auburn hair. Is it auburn? It's at least sandy blonde.
It's something.
At least there. The Super Nintendo book, Ian. It's getting printed right now. It's getting cobbled together with hammers and chisels.
Oh, good.
They're chopping down trees. And they're hoping that it's going to ship to the mainland later this month. And then it'll arrive at the warehouse, hopefully later in October. That's the key there. It'll arrive at the warehouse and they start shipping out. You can go to ultimatesnes.com right now to pre-order the physical one or order the digital one, which I still have to send you the digital one. I keep forgetting. Not that you would read it. But anyway. And then we're going to be at Portland Retro Gaming Expo, Ian. We're going to be there.
We will.
The event's the 18th through 20th of October. The 18th is more like the arcade warm-up day.
Right.
And the festivities really begin the 19th and 20th. Go to retrogamingexpo.com. It's a fantastic event. Pinball machines, as far as the eye can see. Arcade games.
I think they're saying something like 200 this year.
Arcade games?
Pinball machines.
200 pinball machines.
I told you, they said they're expanding it by like 30,000 square feet.
That's an expansion.
Yes.
Because that's like, you're approaching pinball, you know, the pinball museum in Vegas has,
no,
like...
You're beating it at that point. I think there's like 135 to 155 at the Vegas museum.
Wow. And you beat that. And that place is incredible. At that point, you have like every major pinball machine that ever came out.
Yeah.
Plus some of those weird knockoff-looking Rambo ones in the mid-80s. What was that company?
Premier. Gottlieb. It was Gottlieb.
It was Gottlieb.
Under the Premier banner.
Under a cheaper banner doing those. Yeah. So lots of fun stuff happening. And then the Not For Resale documentary should be for sale on Blu-ray by Portland. We'll see about that. That'll be fun there. So, Ian, you know, controversy the past week. It's something we felt we should respond to. I almost feel like we should apologize for how we spoke about the Intellivision Amico.
Because we weren't harsh enough?
I am blinded, and now I now see that we should not be critical at all.
Of anything.
Of a new console coming out based upon a IP that hasn't been popular since 1981.
But you got the price wrong.
I got the price wrong, which I corrected in that original YouTube video comment, and then the second I corrected myself. So, but because I said that, I apologize. All our points are now moot and invalid.
Yes.
Because I got the price wrong.
I also apologize for saying that it's digital only, when apparently there might be physical games released for it, but We don't know.
In all seriousness, Tommy Tallarico, you know, went after us on Twitter. This is the lightest way I can put it, and it got more onerous. He took on Ben Shapiro qualities. He said, he actually said, debate me.
Yes.
Did you see that one tweet?
Yes, he said, debate me.
And I even Mike Kennedy never said, debate me. He just called us drunken, so I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
But it's not really, it wouldn't be a debate. It would just be a difference of opinion of where we think the market is for a console that isn't even out yet for at least 14 months, by the way. So it's not like there's a track record we can even go off of for a new company like this. And it is a new company. This is a restart. This is a reboot of a brand, you know, that's been kicked around and you know, hasn't been really utilized besides, you know, putting out, you know, packs of old games, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, how are you supposed to judge what they're doing here? All I know is this, Ian.
We're allowed to have an opinion, and if you don't think there's enough info out there, then it probably started too soon. But I'm allowed to form an opinion off of info that's out there.
The website is paltry, and that's putting it lightly. The website has more room dedicated to pictures of colored console variants in CG mock-ups versus the actual information that we are supposed to have or being criticized for not having.
But this system is going to be different. Because it totally didn't make a huge deal out of announcing color variations at E3.
So it has, for example, I'll run through the website because this is really quick. And I'm not reading press releases. No one reads press releases, by the way. Press releases go to website. They get churned out real quick. And after that, you forget about them.
Your website is supposed to give us the info we need.
Easy touch screen. Disc and motion controls. Okay. Effortless menu screen system. I have no idea what that means. Because any menu should be effortless. Games focused on all skill levels. Okay, the Karma trademark gaming engine. Any information on that on the website? I don't know. I don't see it. Interactive lighting guidance system. I guess it means LED lights on the console.
Cool. It's ritzy looking.
Affordable, under $200. Mea culpa. In the first video, I said 200 to 250 or 200 to 300, and then it's under 200. Okay, it's under 200. After tax and shipping, it'll probably be $200. You know, after that. And we're not even talking about extra controllers or anything else you might need to get up and running there. Games, $3 to $10. Okay, we knew that. I don't think we spoke out of turn with that. I think we said something like that range.
Originally, they were supposed to be $3 to $8.
So, okay.
And there was something that I read somewhere that said, if there are physical games, they would probably have to break that $10 barrier.
Okay.
Which is fine. That's understandable. Just making sure we get all the information.
Yeah, make sure that we parrot everything on the website here that looks like it was coded in 1999. Five-packing games. Which we mentioned last time, there'll be 5-packing games.
Apparently, we'll hear about those at E3 2020.
Okay,
so,
great. All right, no DLC in app purchases, loot boxes, or ads. Where have I heard that before? It starts with a C, ends with a chameleon. Family, all games rated. We went through this before.
Family,
no violence or bad language. Games everyone can play. Positive reinforcement, parental controls. Don't know what that means. So
that sounds like never mind.
Diverse and unique game library, curated quality controlled games. Again, that sounds familiar. Connect up to 8 mobile devices with free app. Okay, that's interesting to see how that's going to work. And I'm guessing that means for extra puzzle games or party games where they become extra controllers. That's actually the only interesting thing I've read so far on this website.
And there are lots of games that already do that on like the PlayStation 4. Well, the Jackbox party games.
And Brennel Floss's Use Your Words game does that. It interfaces with the TV and different controllers. So it's not new tech. It's cool to see it used. It's actually kind of hard to get that going. Top-notch developers. Okay, the biggest licensed intellectual properties. Earthworm Jim is not the biggest licensed intellectual property. Neither is Shark, but I just think that's funny to see. Blah, blah, blah. And as you can see, these are all just words here with no examples of anything. There's no video of any of this in operation. Again, we are at least 14 months out from the release of a console, yet we are the ones that are getting attacked. And we're getting attacked in the strangest of places, Ian.
Yeah. Tommy and his army of ad hominem loving yes men on the Atari Age and television board. It was humorous because they immediately went to attacking our looks because they don't have any information they can use to back up why this is going to be a massive success either. So sorry for being critical of your product, but that doesn't mean I was coming after you personally. You can't take criticism. It's hilarious how little you can take criticism, which is why you're hiding in your Atari Age board, surrounded by people who are just effortlessly nodding their head up and down and saying, yes, Tommy, this will be great.
And they like that, you know, Tommy's doing a lot of these interviews with one of the individuals he did an interview with when after us, David Giltatan, that's a tough name to pronounce.
I thought it was Gillibrand.
He used to be the editor of Retro Magazine for Mike Kennedy. And when the Coleco Chameleon kerfuffle was happening, David took it upon himself to parrot whatever Mike Kennedy said and attacked people like me and you as being conspiracy theorists about the console, even after the New York Toy Show happened.
Yep.
When it was clear at that point that it wasn't just a bad idea, it was at that point a scam. At that point in time.
But he held on until the end.
And then he had the balls to attack me on Twitter, which I thought was like, wow, dude, really? Okay.
Yep. And then you brought up him throwing us under the bus for something that we were right on, and he said, I don't have time for this.
That's in the past.
That's in the past.
Can't talk about that now. Zero credibility to interview anyone in the video game sphere forever at that point to me. You should be out of the industry at that point. I'm not going to mix words about
it. Falling in line behind a console that you haven't seen anything of without any questions is not something that you easily write off. It makes you a hack.
So this is my point. If what you are celebrating is Tommy communicating on the internet in podcasts or videos with people of that caliber who have no journalistic integrity or even common sense to even conduct a critical interview, then you have nothing at this point that I want to hear about. I mean, absolutely nothing. Words are meaningless when it comes to products that are 14 months in advance. This isn't like he brought up, well, what if Doug Bowser wanted to talk to them? Would they turn down Doug Bowser? No, because Nintendo's a company that's been around for over 100 years putting out products consistently with an extremely great track record.
Yeah.
That's a little bit different
makes us fanboys.
It's different from a new startup for a console that's still in prototypical form, if you want to say that, that we have little information on that we can go off of. It's a little bit different. And it's surprising that in the matter of 1 or 2 years, when people loved our commentary on Atari Age, I'm not saying all Atari Age people, because even Albert, who runs Atari Age, was disgusted by us being attacked physically, and he weighed in saying, you can't do that anymore.
Physically?
People make fun of our physical looks.
Oh, yeah, that, sure.
They said I weighed 50 pounds dripping wet, which I have never been accused of being skinny in my life, which I think is hysterical, by the way. But I just think it's funny that they have Tommy on the thread here. We'll link the thread. And all of a sudden it's like,
yes.
Amico!
Anyways, it's a weird group of cheerleaders.
It's weird. It's really weird. And it's getting harder and harder for me to be impartial now in terms of me wanting this to be a success or fail the more I get attacked by Tommy Tallarico. That's all I'm
going to
say.
Because we had the gall to not immediately say this is going to be the best thing ever.
And apparently we know nothing about pre-NES consoles, or as I do, even though, you know...
No, the Atari 5200 definitely, you know, isn't one of my favorite consoles.
It's not like we had a show called The Video Game Years that started in 77, and we talked about all the old games that Tommy himself was on this show, and none of it makes sense. It's whatever narrative you want to construct about us being haters for something where Ian publicly said, and I said, we don't want to fail. This is why we don't think it's a good idea. And because we're not cheerleading something that...
I've also vocally on this podcast criticized Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo, and just about every other major player in the console game. So the hide your head in the sand and say we're fanboys excuse doesn't cut it.
So one person said, by the way, there was no, in this thread, unlike the Chameleon and the Retro VGS, there was no links to our commentary, which I thought was cute. I wonder if it wasn't allowed, or they said, no, we can't have anything negative at all here. But the one person that did say, they think we didn't say anything unreasonable about the Amico last episode. Tommy just came off a podcast where he convinced a doubter, and several of you praised him for the interview. And then everyone started going in about why we were wrong. And Tommy had a nail in about what he's trying to do. here. He said, let the hardcores hate and not understand all they want. It doesn't affect our mission or goal at all. And again, once they actually play it and see their non-gaming friends having fun together, they're all of a sudden start to understand what we felt growing up and what has been missing for over a decade in the gaming industry.
I have a lot of non-gaming friends that have had fun with the Switch. A lot of family-friendly games on that, too. But hey, pointing that out makes me a fanboy.
You're a fanboy now, Ian. Well, you're an anti-fanboy. You're an anti-Intellivision hater. You don't know anything about the Intellivision or anything before the NES.
I don't know anything.
I never played Mousetrap with my cousins or played Pole Position on the 7800. I don't know what I'm talking about. I never played arcade games that came out before the NES. I didn't do any of that. We're gatekeeping, Ian. We're anti-gatekeeping. We're gatekeeping. So it's fun. I'll link it here. Tommy was talking about how we're not being fair at all to him. That is the point people are trying to make and why they are attacking Pat the Punk and the long-haired dude.
My name's Ian, Tommy. It's not hard
Tommy,
to look up.
Tommy, you might have met Ian, I think. Did you meet before?
No, I don't think I met him. But still, it's not hard to find my name. But hey, I understand how this goes.
Okay. I think Tommy's made it personal officially. Can you say that?
Well, he took it personal from the minute go, or the word go, because, you know, we had doubts.
They keep giving bad info. They are unwilling to have a normal adult and mature conversation about it. This is a guy who said debate me on Twitter, wants to have a mature conversation. Instead, they'll keep giving bad info based on the wrong data they have because they are too lazy to do 10 minutes of research. I just went to the website, Tommy. There's nothing there that still convinced me that this is a good idea. I'm sorry. There's nothing there.
And I don't need insider info. Like, if we need insider info to suddenly think this is a good idea, then it should probably be on the website.
Easier to just turn the cameras on, hate it, and then get into a Twitter war to get more views. Tommy, this isn't me being arrogant. More people know who I am on YouTube than you are. I'm not getting more views based upon talking about you versus people that already know me. That's just silly. They should be ashamed of themselves for the way they've handled this.
Shame, shame.
Oh, my God.
Shame.
It's embarrassing. But we're the ones that should be embarrassed because we're not just, you know, we're not drinking the Kool-Aid that everyone else is, apparently, when it comes down to this. Okay.
All right. Anyways, that's probably good.
So I'm going to say this. I might have to downgrade Atari H from sandwiches to just like a couple appetizers you'll have to share. I still love you, Atari H, but this is a
don't throw the whole Atari H.
No, I'm not. But you know, it's disappointing that they're not really allowing any sort of negativity at all. Oh, okay. The last post. The Amiga will not find. This is not me saying this, but this is just stuff we've said. The Amiga will not find much brand association with the younger audience. The majority of the public under the age of 40 have no clue or what Intellivision is or was. I would say that's correct, Ian.
Yes.
Remakes and more modern takes on old games isn't a new thing. The Intellivision name wouldn't even need to be part of this venture to be successful, in my opinion. It's there, sure, and Tommy is very passionate about it, for sure, but old Intellivision owners are not going to make this thing successful.
Yeah, you could call it anything, and Intellivision's not going to... It's not going to matter. It's going to have the same chances of success.
The masses don't give a shit about Shark or really any of the original Intellivision IPs of old. They'll be fun to play, I'm sure, but the majority of people will not be running with wallets open to play such games based on previous positive enjoyment with those titles. I would agree, Ian.
Yes, I would agree.
Earthworm Jim, now you're talking. I'm not totally on board with that, but okay. That has potential to be a system seller. Thing is, Earthworm Jim isn't known to have association with Intellivision at all. Real quick, this is what I'm going to say. From what we know that this is not going to be a system even probably near close to the power of the Nintendo Switch, from what we've heard. And we'll be shocked if it is. I don't know how complex of an Earthworm Jim game you're going to get. You know, that's all I'm going to say. Again, Intellivision means nothing special, means nothing in that regard. Amico is better off standing on its own, as most people won't have a clue, and there'll be a fair number who might remember Intellivision in a negative manner for whatever reason. He's absolutely right. Mm-hmm. Not everyone remembers Intellivision remembers it to be good. We always remember that that's such a weird system that the Atari beat up and that no one remembers anymore. The main one was often called a horrible controller. I'm liking a lot of what I've seen in the videos of the Amico. I remember Intellivision from back in the day, But I'm also one of the people who hate the original controller. I look at the new controller and I'm worried about it based solely on my previous use of the original television controller.
Well, I would like to insert something here. For a system that's supposed to appeal to non-gamers and family, it's keeping a lot of strange things that would definitely only appeal to people who had it when they were growing up. This whole thing has a very split. It's for this, but then why is everything appealing to this older collector?
There's
market.
No reason for it to look like an Intellivision controller. The no. disc pad was awful to use. It's not precise. It's like floaty a little bit, and the side action buttons really limit your enjoyment of playing a game or like a platformer. Try playing Super Mario Brothers, a game like that, with side buttons like that.
And if we don't have all the insider info we need about the controller, you probably should have thought about how people are going to look at that controller and go, that doesn't look like a very good controller to use.
What is the only, off the top of my head, the only reason why you'd want to repeat an Intellivision controller is so that you could have a new experience of the old way you played Intellivision games, which would be the overlays, right? Look down at the overlays for games, yeah. And you press the buttons that are associated with it, right? Am I wrong?
Which I thought was the coolest thing about it when it was announced.
Okay, but that's only going to be for your Intellivision remakes for the most part, right?
Well, I'm sure there's going to be more
uses. They'll think of more games where it's really intuitive while you're playing to look down at your controller to press buttons. It's horrible to do that to begin with, and if that's the type of game experience you want, I don't think many people like that. I just don't in this day and age. The overlays thing is kitschy. It's cool. The Intellivision used it, and then the ColecoVision used it.
Atari 5200.
5200. That's right. How
a can system I that I don't love that I definitely know nothing about, but anyways.
You don't love the 5200.
I was joking. Remember, we don't like anything pre-Nintendo?
No, we don't. I don't love the ColecoVision myself. Anyway, so you can't bank on 40-year-old games being remade to sell a console that's going to cost you $200, especially by the time this comes out next year. You're going to have, the Switch Lite's $200, right? You have the PS5's going to be out next year. You're going to have maybe the next Xbox console out next Christmas as well. And then that means the Xbox One's going to be lowered in price. The PS4 is going to be lowered in price. This is what the Amico's competing with when it comes out.
But we're fanboys for saying
that. At $200.
Fanboys.
$200 to play mobile quality games.
We're fanboys for pointing this out.
Have fun spending $200 to play an updated Shark. Have fun out there doing that. We'll see how long that makes the system last in the ecosystem. All right, Ian. Ian.
Yes, Pat.
Can you feel the love tonight?
Sort of. Aladdin and Lion King are getting a physical release by Limited Run Games. And it's a huge pack that's almost all-inclusive that covers these games from the 16-bit era. So before we get started, the list of games that's going to be included on the Disney Classic Games Aladdin and Lion King pack.
Woo!
It's going to be quite a bit. So as of now, Aladdin Genesis version, Aladdin Game Boy version, which includes the Super Game Boy version, Disney's Aladdin Final Cut. I don't know what that is. They don't apparently either.
That's the ultra-violent Aladdin version?
Disney's Aladdin Trade Show Demo. That's pretty cool. The Lion King Genesis version, Lion King Super Nintendo version, and Lion King Game Boy version. That's a big lineup. The one thing missing that everyone immediately points out is the Super Nintendo version of Aladdin is not included. It says here that perhaps that may not be final, but I'm sure we'll see. That one was created by Shinji Mikami, the guy who created Resident Evil, and it was a Capcom game, unlike these ones. These ones weren't Capcom games. I believe these are Virgin Interactive.
Gotcha. So they'd have to go to Capcom to get the rights for the Super Nintendo one, and they'd probably say, well, this might not be worth doing.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm pretty sure those are Virgin Interactive.
And unfortunately, those are different games. They're not just like ports of one.
Yeah, they're very different.
So that's to some people may not be a deal breaker, but it's like,
I think more people like the Super Nintendo version of Aladdin. I love the Genesis version. People give me shit for that all the time.
But really? From what I hear, the Genesis one is fine. I don't think I've played the Genesis one, but...
But it's good. I enjoy it. So, yeah, that missing is unfortunate, but I think it's cool that it's got the demos. It's got the Super Game Boy enhancements in addition to just the regular Game Boy versions. It also does not have, and I kind of forgot that these existed, but it's worth noting, it does not have the Game Gear versions of Aladdin or The Lion King either.
Doesn't have the NES versions.
Yeah. Aladdin didn't get one, and Lion King... Was Lion King here, or was that European only?
Lion King was European only.
Okay, yeah, so it doesn't have anything. All the ones that were in the U.S. are here, except for Super.
The NES Lion King is miserable.
Yes.
It's like tries to be a port of the Super Nintendo game, and it's so short, there's like half the levels not even. So that's not a loss at all. No one wants to play that game.
Right. So that's going to have a bunch of additions to it as well, in terms of the usual sprucing up that you see now on these retro game collections. It's going to have upscaled graphics. You don't have to use it, but you can have upscaled graphics. There's going to be filters.
Did you say there wasn't an NES Aladdin game?
Not in the U.S.
Oh, okay, but there still was one, so it should...
Sure, I was talking about... Yeah. I mean...
Oh, okay. Sure.
Yeah, sorry. So filters. Scan lines... and then a interactive game viewer, which they did something like this on the SNK 40th anniversary. You can watch a playthrough of the game and jump into the game whenever you want. So
it's a great idea.
Yeah. A rewind feature, a museum, art gallery, music player. So it's gonna have all the bells and whistles, and it's coming out October 29th, 2019. So the likelihood of that Super Nintendo one getting in there is pretty slim, but I do not know what Aladdin Director's Cut is.
Okay, so it's coming to Switch, PS4, Xbox One, and PC. And you said there's going to be a limited run physical version?
Yes.
Okay. Well, they have the Disney deal now, so limited run could do these properties. So that's great. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. Is it on their website yet for limited run?
It is...
let's see.
Jeez.
Are you...
I thought it was.
All right. Well, I don't think I see it yet, but there's so much things on their website now it's hard to find. Lion King, is it on their site? No results. Okay. Well, there'll probably be a limited run release.
Yeah, I mean, they show a physical package.
They do.
I thought there was. Anyways, it's being done by Digital Eclipse.
I was going to say, I don't see a limited run one on the site, so I don't know.
Okay. No, okay. Maybe not.
Okay, but it's going to be a physical release. Okay, we know that. Okay. Yeah, because something like this, you know, wouldn't be a limited run. This you could sell a ton of. This you can sell a million of these.
Yeah, well, and Digital Eclipse is doing it too, so I guess it's not.
Okay. All right, we're correct.
All right, my bad.
We don't want all our points to be invalidated because we got the one wrong. We don't want to Tommy this topic. Yeah, we don't want to do that here. So do you think this is good enough just to have two games? Because these are like the two bigger Super Nintendo ones. You don't care about the other minor ones?
I think with all the ports that they're putting in there, all the different versions, I think
it's a good value.
Yeah.
It's a value.
For $30, I'd say so.
$30?
Yeah, I think that's what it said at the bottom.
Ooh, I think this would be a $25 sweet spot, $20, but yeah, $30, sure. For
you weirdly underpriced things.
Well, I mean,
that's about normal.
One, two, three. Oh, you get the Aladdin trade show demo. That's pretty cool. The trade show demo.
I mentioned that.
One, two, was ignoring you. One, two, three.
I can tell.
Four, five, six. Basically six versions of games. If I remember, the NES Aladdin's actually pretty good. It's not miserable like the Lion King one there. So yeah, you don't get like the Jungle Book games that came out around... You know, same time. You don't get those. You don't get, like, some of the other minor characters. You don't get Little Mermaid on there. Maybe they could have shoved Little Mermaid in here, you know, if they wanted to. But since they didn't have a Super Nintendo version, I guess why not? You know, why do it? you know, they wanted to start with just Super Nintendo and Genesis, basically. 16-bit. Wait, was there Little Mermaid on Genesis?
There was.
Oh, so
different company.
But they, okay, different company.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I mean, you're talking all different companies at
that point. Okay. So this is the Virgin Games. Virgin. Okay, gotcha. All right, well, yeah, this would be a cool thing to pick up if you're into those games, sure. All right, Ian, speaking of re-releases of games that aren't called Shark, we have Retrobit announced some new titles.
Indeed. Getting
remade, or new new old games. And we knew Metal Storm was announced previously, but they were at Gamescom and they showed off the Metal Storm Collector's Edition. They showed off with a cute little statue of the Metal Storm mech, which I don't know the name of the mech there. Metal Storm mech? I don't know. But then they announced something that was interesting. They announced something that, to me, isn't that interesting. They announced a Hammer and Harry, which was a PAL-only NES game that's hard to find. And that's in a, there's a gold cart they showed. They announced Undercover Cops, which didn't come out in North America. It was Super Famicom, beat 'em up game there. But then the big one that they announced was Mega Man Wily Wars, that was originally on Genesis.
And they also announced Truxton, Hellfire, Fire Shark, and Zero Wing re-releases for the Genesis. All four of those are extremely good shooters for the Genesis. And
Truxton's expensive.
Truxton's very expensive. And the other ones, I mean, they go up in price because they're shooters. I mean, Fire Shark has definitely jumped up a bit. Hellfire is probably in the 80 range complete, and Zero Wing is a good game and also got really popular with the All Your Base Belong to Us thing. And that one has gone up in price too. So those are going to be cool.
So the Mega Man Wally Wars thing is great, because I think to some people, this will be the first time they experienced the game. If they didn't know it existed potentially, or if they hadn't emulated it, they'll be able to pick it up. And I think this is the reason I like the idea of re-releasing these games. I like the idea of doing it for properties people know about, potentially, you know, quality games that are expensive, because they don't have to pirate them or buy some cheap AliExpress knockoff that can fry their system or go bad or what have you. They get a nice package of a game. It's licensed. You know, everyone wins. It spurs interest in the IP of Mega Man. You know, it keeps it going. Even for something like Truxton, I just like the idea of doing this. As long as it's priced reasonably, I think it's good to do these re-releases.
Everything they've done so far has been super reasonably priced, so I don't see why this one wouldn't.
What's their price here? So they're going to do orders for the game will be available soon at Castlevania Games and Limited Run Games for $70 for the collector's edition or $45 for the standard. Now that's for Metal Storm, so you think that the price range for something like Wally Wars would probably be somewhere in that range.
I'm going to guess probably
50 to 60.
Yeah,
$50 to $60 probably for a Genesis.
All of their super like crazy collector editions, like they did for Holy Diver and R-Type, those were, I think, 70. So, you know,
so 50 to 60 range.
50,
for
yeah.
Standard.
Who knows if they'll add anything else with the Wily Wars to bring it up in price, but it would be reasonable no matter what.
Sure. Okay. Well, that's cool. All right. All right. Was there anything else to add on Mega Man the Wily Wars being re-released?
No, I mean, not really.
Until we see more about this. Let's see. Do we know when these are coming out? Is there any the website? Last time I looked at the website, there wasn't much information there.
I think the shooters had a TBA of late 2019 to early 2020, and I have a feeling that Metal Storm has got to be just around the corner,
because they announced that like 7 months ago. At this point, eight months ago.
I think even a little bit longer. So. Going to Limited Run Games, looking at the standard limited edition, it's not showing it. So I would imagine it's very soon, though.
Well, it's just going to be sold through Limited Run. I don't think it's going to be a Limited Run release. They're just going to sell it on the website. You're saying it's not there yet on the website?
Yeah, I'm not seeing it there yet.
Okay. All right, cool. So we don't know yet when that's going to come out, according to this. But all right. I think it's a great idea, because that's a game that costs hundreds of dollars. And they didn't make too many of those for, what, Europe in the, what, Japan? Was it out in Japan as well?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Ian, we have a happy day for video game preservation.
Yes, we do. So, a Konami QTA adapter and a copy of Space School for the Nintendo Famicom made it into a collector's hands and was subsequently dumped to the internet for preservation. This is a very rare item. It wasn't sold to the public. The QTA adapter was used in conjunction with NHK in Japan to basically provide educational games to schools. And because they weren't ever circulated to the public, I'm assuming that a lot of these were asked. I'm assuming that these were kind of leased or loaned. That would be my guess. So there's almost none in circulation. So the I believe his name is the Russian geek managed to find a copy of the game and contemplated picking it up, but didn't have the adapter. And without the adapter, there's no way if the cartridge would work, and that stuff's very expensive.
Sure.
He made the deal, and I believe according to his video, from what I could tell, it was somewhere in the range of 99,999 yen or something like that. So,
100,000 yen?
Yeah, thereabouts.
Well, I don't know what the pat math is on that. 100. I'll look it up. 1,000 yen, $2.
So he was able to get it, and...
like $950.
Okay. And then had it dumped. So the game that was dumped was Space School. And I think there might be multiple in that series. But Space School is a educational math game with a futuristic setting. It's very video gamey looking. Your students on like a space station. And the graphics are awesome. On it. It looks great. And the soundtrack track is fantastic too. So these are exciting discoveries. The adapter itself actually adds expansion RAM.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, it adds expansion RAM. So unlike, say, the Aladdin Deck Enhancer.
Which does jack shit.
Which existed only to put another gate between a game and a system. This isn't just so that the games can't run without it. It actually adds more RAM to it. Two microchips for 8 kilobytes of the RAM.
By the
expansion.
Way, the Russian Geek video, it's in Russian, but there are English captions you can click on. We'll link that here.
So here, real quick, it's a hardware extension to the Famicom. Let me get all providing extra technical capabilities, consists of RAM for upgraded graphics, and then come on,
they blur-
video ROM with the graphics of the fonts for the symbols, software ROM with the system libraries, and two microchips, 8 kilobyte for the RAM extension. So that's all in the adapter itself.
Gotcha.
Main RAM and PPU RAM. And then there's a Konami VRC5 chip in there as well.
Did you say what that does? VRC5.
The VRC5, I believe, is it's. I think that's a mapper. I don't know, but it's a.
Does it add like extra scrolling effects?
It controls everything else. Yeah, so it controls everything else.
Yeah, I mean, this looks like it's like one of them. I mean, just looking at this, just looking at some of the video, this is like, yeah, this is like one of those late release sort of NES games like Kirby's Adventure. Like wow, they really. Pulled as much out of the NES that they possibly could.
Yeah, no, it's legitimately gorgeous looking. Like, it's a really nice looking game. And it has you doing math equations and stuff like that. To be honest, I didn't look into a lot of what the game is.
How does it compare to Space Shuttle Project? That's the key.
Well, I mean...
That's the key. We got to translate this. We got to get a ROM hack.
You're comparing apples and oranges.
We got to... Space School, Space Shuttle Project. I'm learning to go to space, Ian.
All right, a lot of the math takes place on a blue screen. It's not super interesting, but the students are very cute looking.
Oh yeah, I saw that before on the video.
So
very in-depth video by the Russian geek here.
So it's impressive.
I'll just say this: I love how he's playing. They show like the knockoff Russian Famicom they're playing in the videos. You see how cheap it looks.
No, it looks like a PS1.
It's like a PS. It's got like teal buttons on it.
Yeah, looks like a PS1. And I believe let's see, that they also got some dumps from someone else. Yes, what's especially cool is that Russian Geek's purchase of an adapter allowed some other entries in the Space School series, which had been previously dumped but were never playable, to now be compatible with emulators as well.
Because they had to get the information from the adapter?
The adapter
is that rare, huh? Because, like you said, this wasn't a retail thing. So
yeah, apparently the adapter is rarer than the cartridges, which makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. They wouldn't make more of them.
And there it is. And if you just want to see footage of video of Space School in action, there is a video at this Kotaku article that was put together by my pal Frank Cifaldi, and you can check out what it looks like in the music and all that.
So let you know how just, you know, strange of a thing this was. This is something I never heard of, this adapter, before.
No, I've
never heard of it. And let's see. It looks like there was even one made for employees of an oil company.
Yeah.
One of these carts. That's like such a strange thing.
I would love to see that one.
And then it links to a Kotaku article from 2008 to explain that. It's called The Gentle Physics and Science of Hazardous Materials. Developed for a petroleum company. Bidding started at $10.50 on Yahoo Auctions, and it closed for $4,213 in 2008. So this is how rare these titles are. That, again, this is something I never even heard of, this adapter for. The QDA or the QT? The
QDA. QTA.
Now I want to see this oil game now.
Yeah, I really want to see this.
I want to see the petroleum game.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so check out Russian Geek's video. Take a look at the article. Get educated. It's a very in-depth article. They blur out the face of some developer for some reason, or some guy working on it.
I think it's the guy who's dumping the ROMs.
Okay, they blur his face out. I don't know if they changed the sound of his voice there. All right, moving on.
FlexPro Meals is a meal delivery company that sends healthy pre-made meals to your doorstep. Their goal isn't to give you salad, but epic recipes, entrees you may have grown up on that they make healthier versions of. Eating healthy is a lifestyle change, not a two-week gimmick, so it's their responsibility to go the extra mile, giving us the most value with realistic and tasty meal options at a good price.
And they are tasty, Ian. They have a weight loss fat trimmer plan and the lean muscle larger portion plan for us beefy guys and gals out there. Some of the most popular entrees are the smoked brisket mac, delicious, breakfast burrito, delicious. The grilled fish and chips is a staple now. My Flex Pro Meals diet plan, not diet plan, meal plan. And the list goes on and on. Ian, what have you liked recently from Flex Pro Meals?
I really like the taco bowl, the chipotle bowl.
Chipotle bowl is really good.
Those two are two of my favorites. Flex Pro, for 20% off on your first order, use code CUPODCAST when you visit flexpromeals.com. They'll give you 20% off on your first order with the code CUPODCAST.
20% off, Ian.
That's right.
At flexpromeals.com. All right, Ian.
Pat.
We didn't talk about this new Evercade handheld when it was announced. I don't know if we missed the announcement of this or if it just sort of floated by us. I don't know why we didn't.
Because these sorts of systems, to be frankly honest with you, come out all the time. Especially in the handheld market, you see a lot of it could have easily passed us by in a way that we thought it might have been another, like, I don't know, like they made the portable Atari Flashback, they made the Genesis ones.
Okay.
It's
fair
a portable
enough
system playing retro games, so sure. I can see why that would have skated by.
Okay, so but this one is a little more ambitious, and I'm gonna be perfectly honest, I'm not gonna be trashing this on the service, because I actually think this isn't a horrible idea. So it's Evercade. It's a brand new handheld console with unique multi-game retro cartridges from leading games publishers and console platforms. So it connects to your TV via HDMI. It's a 4.3-inch screen. It's a decent-sized screen for something like this. Decent. Cartridges, 8-bit and 16-bit games. So there's a trailer on here. There's a couple of different editions on here. This is going to cost $80 US with one cart. Premium is $100 with three carts. The carts are going to cost you $20 each. So connect to your TV via HDMI, collectible elements, I guess I mean like trophies, achievements, no internet required, yours to keep forever, save your progress. Okay, celebrate the classics. So they already have a bunch of multi-carts announced here, if you want to go through them here.
Okay.
There's a list in the site here. So let's see, where does the list begin? Cartridges. And there's several announced. They have the Atari Collection 1 and Atari Collection 2, the Data East Collection 1, the Interplay Collection. Okay, I want to see what titles are on that. Interplay Collection 2, the Mega Cats Studios Collection, Namco Museum 1 for Ian, Namco Museum 2 for Ian, and the Pico Interactive Collection, which is probably a bunch of the stuff, you know, a bunch of stuff that they bought, stuff that they re-released before, like Iron Commando, yeah, Jim Power, the Immortal.
Because there's Dragon no Dew system Dragon. In this day and age that does not have something Pico Interactive on it.
Hey, he grinds, Eli, oh, from
yeah,
Pico.
He is,
he's a grinder.
He rises
he's
and working. Grinds.
Okay, so looking at the Interplay one, I'm just interested in the Interplay ones. You get, like, Claymates, Earthworm Jim, C2, or Clay Fighter 2, The Adventures of Rad Gravity, really? That's an Interplay one? The Brainies and Prehistoric Man on Interplay Volume 1. You get Earthworm Jim, Clay Fighter, Boogerman, Battle Chess, and more. So not all announced. Okay, so we'll just say about six or seven games for $20 here. That's about what you're looking at here. And then for the Atari ones, we'll just say Atari Collection 1.
The Namco Collection 1 brings 11 games.
Okay.
So I it seems like they tried to piece them out based on what you think, I mean, the value of
the value. Atari Collection 1 has 20 games.
It's interesting, but it's also, it's the same packs that we've seen released on other systems. You know, Data East has done collections. They have the plug and play. So these are good games, but it's nothing that we have yet to see. Although the Mega Cat Studios one, they do a lot of homebrew stuff for the NES.
They do newer stuff. Yeah.
So that actually looks like it's pretty interesting, and that's definitely one that is not. I don't believe they've done a multi-cart type thing yet.
Oh, wow.
So they've got that's Log Jammers, Little Medusa, Coffee Crisis,
which is good.
Old Towers.
That's a great value. There's like 10 games on there at least. Three,
so that
six.
One does yeah. seem to be, a, yeah, that's a pretty good deal.
The right value, now. Ian, and that one's probably really good. Yeah, those are newer games. They are not just, ports or, not ports, they're not just, re-releases there. A little disappointed, I'm not going to lie, about the Atari ones, because they're not arcade games. They're just 7,800 and 2,600 games on there.
But like I said, this is stuff that's been hashed out before.
Yeah, these are,
they could do new stuff.
Did you say hashtroids?
Hashed out. They could do new stuff, but they haven't yet. Now, these Evercade, the multi-game cartridge, the Namco collection.
What does the Namco one got here?
So, it's Galaxian, Pac-Man, Xevious, Mappy, Dig Dug, Star Luster, yes. Battle Cars, Metal Machines, Ribble Rabble, Quad Challenge, and Mappy Kids. So I would point out that these are the Famicom versions.
Oh. Okay.
Which,
that's disappointing.
Yeah.
I guess they're cheaper to get.
I guess, but or yeah, those look like the Famicom cartridges. They've even got the numbering on them.
Okay, then Collection 2 has Draga, Galaga, Dig Dug, Warp Man. I don't think I ever played Warp Man. Burning Force, Pack Attack, Dragon Spirit, Splatterhouse 3, Splatterhouse 2. Well, that's interesting, at least. Weapon Lord, which is probably the Super Nintendo version. I don't think that was an arcade game, Weapon Lord. And then Felios. So that's actually a really interesting collection. That mishmash.
Second collection is very interesting. I like Burning Force a lot.
But the fact that you get Splatterhouse 2 and 3, which those weren't arcade games, right? That's just Genesis.
Yeah.
Weapon Lord, which is a Super
they did
Nintendo
a Genesis, 101. They did a Genesis version of it as well.
Of Weapon Lord?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Maybe it's the Genesis version. And then you get Dragon's Spirit, Felios, which I never played, but Ian probably played a good shooter.
Felios is great.
So that's actually really interesting mishmash of games or anything else. So here you go. But here's the thing. So, do people like using cartridges? Absolutely. The reason why I don't dismiss this on the service is because, if this is something that's portable, you don't have to worry about Wi-Fi on a plane or whatever. You can just have your little carts. And for games like this that are simple, $20 isn't a bad price for getting a collection of like 10, 12 games.
And the system itself is cheap. The system itself is supposed to be about, I believe it's supposed to be 80 US.
Yep, yep. Said that before. So I guess at this point, it's just seeing how well made the console is once it comes out to really pass more judgment. I don't think this is unreasonable to ask $20 for these collections. You may not like them, but I don't think they're going too over the top here. So that brings the collection of games total that's available in the system to it's 115 games between the, what is it, 9 carts they announced so far here. So, okay, that's all I have to say about it right now. I don't think it's a terrible idea. The price is reasonable.
People love portables.
Yeah, portables, to me, physical media with portables is different than a console, just because, again, you're traveling around with it. If you want to, you know, there's something about putting a portable cartridge in. I get it. And these are simple games. I'm just disappointed that there's not going to be arcade ports of some of these games that I think they should get those on there.
Yeah. I'm interested in seeing it. I just, I don't know. I have a feeling, much like we didn't see this initially when it came out, I have a feeling that this has a significant chance to get lost in the shuffle.
Because of that?
Well, just because of, yeah. I mean, it's just another handheld that's out there. By the way, did you look through the Pico Interactive pack? It's a pretty interesting mishmash of games, too.
Oh, yeah. I went through them real quick. You're not listening to me? I went through them. Same again, though, real quick.
So, Brave Battle, Water Margin, Dork and Imp, Switchblade, Way of the Exploding Fist, Nightshade.
Okay, I didn't go through them.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think you did, because I would have remembered that.
Nightshade's on there?
Nightshade's on there, but guess what else is on there? Will Harvey's The Immortal is also on there.
No, I did say that before. I said The Immortal, I said Dragon View, I said Iron Commando. I did say that before.
Well, then you missed,
I missed out on
Nightshade.
That's a weird mix, too. Well, these are Way of the Exploding Fist, which that was like a pirate NES game, I believe. That's going to be on there? Pico's buying anything they can get their hands on. None of these games make sense together as a collection. They're all entirely different.
Eli wakes up and says, rise and grind, baby. Time to get that bread.
Eight Eyes? We love Eight Eyes. We do like Eight Eyes. Oh, the Immortal's not the NES one, it looks like. That looks like a PC version or something.
Probably Genesis.
Genesis one? I never played it. Dragon View. Power Punch 2. Okay, that's why I didn't go through the whole Power Pigs of the Dark Age. Rare Super Nintendo game.
All right.
Iron Commando, which didn't come out here. The Humans, these are some like uncommon Super Nintendo games. Okay. All right. And then Magic Girl, no description, and Top Racer. So, okay. You get 20 Pico games of goodness in collection one. All right, I think I want to try out that Pico collection. Not going to lie there.
Definition of an appetizer platter right there.
Appetizer, that's a buffet.
You want the mozzarella sticks? No onion rings. No chicken fingers?
I was
gonna maybe
say,
French fries?
That's a Bellagio buffet right there. It's breakfast, there. Lunch, or dinner.
Okay.
All right, moving on here. Okay, Ian.
So, yes.
A Kickstarter for a Switch device. Ian, real quick, did we ever get our vertical Switch dock?
No. I have to look into that.
How much money are you out of? $20 there?
$25.
You never contacted the
Kickstarter? I did, and I couldn't get anything when I tried to get. I couldn't access like the Kickstarter order.
You couldn't access it. You couldn't log in.
Yeah, I don't know.
That was through Fangamer, right?
Yeah. I'll figure it out.
Anyway, but this is another one that we hopefully...
It's probably on me, but the money was taken.
The money was taken, no product. But this is one where I want them to take my money. There's 10 days left. We record this. It's Genki Covert Dock for the Nintendo Switch, a tactical stealth dock hidden inside a portable GAN charger. Not sure what that stands for. We're setting the dock free so that any television is your playground.
Yeah, so this is neat. I don't know what that means about any television. I thought any television would be. I guess because it's easier to travel with.
Yes. So
it's a small device that will plug into the wall. You can run you can run a USB-C to USB from your Switch into the device, and then run the HDMI cable out of the device and onto the TV. And that way it creates a very small, easy to use dock that you can take on road trips, conventions. It's much easier, and you don't have to worry about screwing up your actual dock.
I mean, technically, it's not even a dock because you're not docking the system. You're just transferring cables to this device to pass through the video to a TV. It's brilliant.
Well, and it's a charger too. It does everything. It's gorgeous.
And from what I saw in the video, you can do this with any device that, you know, any use as a pass through for anything. So this isn't just for the Nintendo Switch. You can do this with anything, I guess, that has an HDMI output or that, you know, that'd be, I guess it'd have to be compatible with this, especially with the USB-C, because the USB-C is, that's for charging. Not many things use the USB-C, but you can, it looks like you can use this as a pass-through for HDMI.
Great.
So that's cool.
Their campaign is cute. There's some little cute graphics here, talking about how it's a stealth charger and Solid Snake would use it. Shows Kirby
eating the giant doc.
Kirby eating the giant doc.
And it turns into the covert doc. Simply plug the Switch into the covert dock, then plug an HDMI cable to the TV. Basically the same way the Switch dock works. It's just a base here.
So, yeah, it looks cool.
And this is going to cost, let's see, how much is this going to cost, Ian? It's going to cost, early bird is gone. That was probably gone in like an hour. So this is going to cost you $59, no longer available. That's even gone. So it's going to cost you, what's the most popular one? Batshoot, $59.
Oh, okay.
It's going to cost you.
That's really reasonable, because Nintendo Switch docks, I think, are...
More than that.
I think they're like 80 to 100. Nope, right here. Nintendo Switch AC adapter and dock, $89.99. And then Apple various adapters, if you wanted to do a similar thing, $137. So this is awesome.
No, this is worth paying. And this also, not just the solution of your traveling, what if you just have a second TV in your house? Right. You don't want to lug your big, you know, if you want to go upstairs to your bedroom, you don't want to deal with it. It's very reasonable for if the technology works and looks like it does, this is fantastic. I'm surprised Nintendo wouldn't have thought of something like this themselves. Maybe the fact that it's they figured out, well, it's not proprietary. It's not like hidden inside a big vault of plastic. They don't want people screwing around with it,
right?
And reverse engineering. But obviously, they reverse engineered the dock to make this.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Or did something to get this going? So they've raised $1.4 million.
Holy shmoly.
With 21,050 backers at this point, and it keeps going up while we talk about this.
And the goal was for 50,000. So they blew that.
That
up
was
the
like probably the
water.
Minimum manufacturing. You know, with tooling and everything else. And so they show people playing at a bar on a big screen. Yeah, they show a presentation. So you see a woman using it just to show probably something from like a computer or something else. Show people on the couch. And so here's the thing. The only thing that... what?
So you look at that thing, work, and you look at the presentation. How Genki will dominate pockets around the world. And it shows like a banana.
It shows a banana?
It shows a banana.
I missed that. So the only thing that this doesn't have, does it come with a stand?
No, but that's the point.
Okay.
It's that it's small. You don't need the stand. You just plug it in and lay it down and play it that way.
Okay. But if you needed to access the system for whatever reason, I think... I guess they sell little stands you could probably buy.
They do buy tons. Yeah, they do. Nintendo makes official ones that are metal.
Metal stands?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Finally got one at the Nintendo store.
Buy a little mini art easel. You can put it on.
Yeah, Hori makes a good one that I use, and then Nintendo makes their own.
So it has, again, foldable prongs, USB-C charging. It has the 3.1 accessory port there to connect, and then the HDMI display for the output to whatever your TV there. So, yeah, it gets the job done. I'm going to be picking one up. Can we order two and then hopefully get them? We can go in halvesies. Is there two?
It doesn't look like there is.
Are you going to order one, Ian?
I think I probably will get one, yes.
All right, get our Switch grips. Get our Switch grips, Ian. It's 2 years later. Send us the Switch grips. Damn
like
it.
Like I said, I don't blame them.
Did you not fill out the survey?
I did, but I don't know what happened there.
So this is a great idea. This is entrepreneurship at its finest right here.
Yes.
I love this. And
the names are great, too. Covert Dock Global Ops. Get the Covert Dock with Global Adapters.
And this is set to ship out. Well, the first batch was December. And so now they didn't realize how many people would be getting this. So if you get it now, your second batch is going to go out in January. So they probably realize, uh-oh. Logistically, we got way too many people want this thing. I wonder if this would be the start of other products. They got the capital now. They can do it if this comes out and it's a success. And it's a professional marketing video, too. So there you go. Good on these guys. If this comes out, good for them doing this. And they're based out of L.A. And it's a Kickstarter project we love. here. So, again, the Genki Covert Dock for Nintendo Switch.
Mixing various third-party solutions is like navigating a minefield.
All right. All right, Ian.
Yes.
You know we're big hoops fans.
Mm-hmm.
Preseason should be starting like a couple weeks already for NBA.
Oh, good.
Because the season starts in October. Right? Is it like late September the preseason starts? I'm on board.
I haven't had any reason to live, so basketball what? Coming back will be amazing.
You just went on vacation for 2 weeks. You had tons of pizza. You've had lots of reasons to live, Ian.
So,
NBA 2K20 is coming out, Ian. Right? And 2K is the biggest popular basketball series.
I guess it's coming out, because a lot of the stuff we've seen so far is very light on basketball and very heavy on not gambling.
Non-gambling, Ian. So, they said, according to this article in Polygon, the references 2 years ago how the publisher said a couple years ago they didn't look at card packs and loot boxes as constituting gambling. Then they're trying to skirt around it, and obviously with Europe now they're really clamping down on loot boxes and gambling elements. It's happening here as well. They're starting to get more and more.
Yeah.
The ESA is trying to say, well, no, it's not. There's pressure. So you know what doesn't help these big companies, Ian, is when they incorporate direct gambling elements into their loot box and card packs in the forms of casino games.
Which apparently were here in some way, shape, or form in 2K19. There was a slot machine and a ball drop was added. But it's really just kind of been pushed to the forefront with this.
My Team trailer features two streamers, Cash Nasty, I've heard that name. I think he comments on basketball on Twitter. I think he hates Steph Curry for some reason. He's the one. And Chris LSK London. It shows them opening packs of cards on some sort of, looks like some sort of set. They're opening card packs. But then when you go into it, they start playing pachinko and then straight up slot machines and then prize wheels in order to,
just
I guess.
Just a straight up prize wheel.
So now it's no longer just like, I guess, a random pack of cards virtually. Now it's. You're
doing in addition to cards, you can also play games of chance.
Is that, and I'm guessing that's for money.
For money? Well, at some,
or you're purchasing something
you
get.
You purchase the cards, yes.
Okay.
So yes, you would probably be using virtual currency to play these. Virtual currency meaning money that you turn into not money.
Okay.
Right.
You're paying money to gamble casino games in 2K20. Just want to make that clear. That's what this is presenting to me.
Mm-hmm.
With two YouTubers hollering and whooping that they're gambling successfully in the virtual environment. I'm just going to tell you, this is a horrible video.
Yeah, it's
for PR.
It's one of the worst videos I think I've seen. And I can only imagine that they're getting, I would hope that these YouTubers are getting laced into for this shit.
Well, they're paid for to probably appear in this video. To act that they're gambling in the video.
So
this video, do you think it did well, Ian, on YouTube?
No. As a matter of fact, the original video doesn't seem to be up there anymore.
So the video got 172,000 views. Thumbs up were 3,500. Thumbs down were 19,000. That's a bad ratio.
Oh, my God. That's awful.
The top comment says, is this the trailer for Ultimate Gambling Simulator 2020, or is this My Team?
The amount of actual basketball shown in the trailer is very little, and it looks cheap. That's the other thing that jumps out about me. It looks awful. It looks cheesy and cheap, and it looks like a shady casino that you would find in a beach resort.
My Team returns to NBA 2K20, this is a description, with daily goals. Come on, come back into the casino every day, get that free buffet, Ian.
Mm-hmm.
Card leveling, you level up your cards, I guess, that you get. A reimagined triple threat, I think it's cool if there's actually a 3-on-3 mode. Limited time events, does that sound familiar? And even more prizes. Enjoy a simplified user experience that both veterans and rookies will appreciate. You mean like gambling rookies? What are they talking about here?
Press triangle to add more money.
What? And they enlisted the video. That's right. I don't know if they made it public again, but MyLink had it enlisted originally on the video. The comments are great. This is legit gambling. They aren't even trying to hide it anymore. Thank 2K for showing us the easiest way to file lawsuits against you. It says unlisted because you're afraid of criticism. Sad. No, it's the bad publicity. I mean, they're keeping all the comments here. Wow. Remember all the money you spent last year on gambling packs? Well, do it again because last year's packs are worthless. I don't know anything about that. Is that true?
Yeah. That's not a surprise. That's with the my team and the ultimate team stuff that EA and 2K do. Yeah, that stuff is just for that year.
So if you purchased it, you can't. Okay, wow. Does your credits cross over from game to game even?
I don't know about your virtual currency, your VC. That I don't know about. But the cards, as far as I know, those all stay with the game for that year.
Okay. So, I mean, that would make sense. Hopefully the currency would pass over, but I don't think that if the currency doesn't, that's even slimier. That means your ecosystem's.
I would think the currency probably does transfer.
Okay.
Well, while you're looking, I'll check. I'll see.
Yeah. It's not just bad in terms of the service about what this appears to be. With the landscape that these game companies are facing, EA trying to push back against loot boxes being seen as gambling, I just don't see how a company can do this in any sort of good faith to realize that this is really, really bad. Look.
Hello there, All-Star. If you own a copy of NBA 2K18 and now have NBA 2K19 in your video game library, you may be wondering if you can transfer any leftover VC from the former into the latter. You can't transfer VC between versions of NBA 2K.
Oh.
That not only includes different console versions of the same game, PlayStation 3 to PlayStation 4, Xbox 360, blah, 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 but different entries in the NBA 2K series.
Okay, then. So this ecosystem has a time limit of basically usefulness of a year. Remember those baseball cards? You remember those 87 Topps cards with the wood grain? I didn't throw them into the garbage when 88 Topps uglier cards came out. You can keep your cards.
The card store owners wouldn't let you buy a new pack until you threw your old ones
away. That's basically what's going on here.
Holy shit.
You gotta throw out your packs of cards if they're unopened. You gotta just toss them.
Get rid of them.
Wow. Okay. And then why?
How insulting! Starting off with "Hello there, All Star."
Is that what they call you? An All Star?
That's what it says right here. Hello there, All Star.
Where was the article I saw about? Oh, PEGI rating board explains why it didn't flag NBA 2K20 as gambling. Oh, I want to see the gymnastics done here. Why didn't they say they're doing it? PEGI's the rating boards in Europe. Eurogamer talked to them. They said they had seen the announcement trailer of NBA 2K20 and noticed the controversy it caused. However, the board's representative noted that the controversial imagery played a central role in the trailer, but it may not necessarily do so in the game, which has not yet been released. What? A central role? It exists as a core part element of the game, though.
Yes.
PEGI is correct that this isn't gambling per se, and that nothing is really wagered in the slot machine, Wheel of Fortune, and Pachinko minigames, and whatever is won has value only as game content. So they're trying to skirt around it, that what you're winning doesn't have monetary value, so it's not gambling? That's what they're trying to say.
That sounds like pachinko laws in Japan, where you don't win money, you win balls that you can trade for prizes and then sell for money.
Well, these you can't sell.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, yeah.
Unless it's on Steam, you'd be able to probably do it. For the ASRB, these minigames aren't even simulated gambling. How is it not simulated gambling if it's literally slot machine, which is a gambling device?
I don't know.
This is bizarre. They're going up to the line. They're like peering over that line.
Yeah.
And saying, what can we get away with here? Holy crap. But you know what? It's a consumer that keeps driving this. They're buying into it. It's the addictive nature of us. We like this shit. Obviously, if it didn't sell, they wouldn't do it, right?
Yeah.
So 2K All-Stars out there, don't buy into this garbage, all right? You know, you want an awesome My Team, you want to get Penny Hardaway in your team or what have you.
Hello there, All-Star.
You want to get the 95 Shaq. That was incredible. You know, you want to get those guys. I don't know. I hear Ian might be an unlockable. It's a rumor.
I'm hoping so.
Ian's a great point guard. Good steal stat. there. All right, anything else to add here? This is just unbelievable.
No, it's just sad.
I mean, I think this is to me a lot grosser than even the GTA Online casino, because at least that wasn't trying to hide anything.
It's a fucking casino.
It was a casino. All right, Ian, we have a Patreon.
We do.
We'll talk about it. How do you access the Patreon, Ian?
You go to patreon.com/CU podcast and put the money in the slot like it's a vending machine.
It's a dollar.
Yep. Yep. Press A4 and
get a nice cold Coke out for $1.25. Now you get Ian Wright's there. You get Ian's monthly Google Hangouts, and you get a weekly Patreon poll topic.
I will be writing up a recipe for baked zucchini at some point today or tomorrow. Yes.
You're not going to write up your Intellivision Amico apology for us to see there?
No. Why'd you got to ruin it? Okay. No, I'm going to deal with
recipe. Okay. We apologize, of course.
Profusely.
So in third place on the poll topic, what type of museums would take retro game donations? 15%. Kind of surprised it was that low. At 33%, strong. Why aren't there more free demos being offered for digital games? It's a very thoughtful question. And in first place, 52%, favorite fast foods.
That was a filler question. but as we've seen with certain food topics, they can apparently do well. So I've pulled up a list of the 23 biggest fast food chains in America.
Is it linked?
And we're going to go
link
through
there.
Them.
Put the link in there for me, Ian. Put in the...
Hold on. I'm getting it there for you.
Okay, get it in there.
It's... Here.
Paste it in for me, Ian.
There it is.
Paste
it's under topic limbo.
Under topic limbo.
Because this should have stayed in limbo.
Wow. Ian's rejecting the patron's choice.
Hey, it was my choice. It was the one I suggested.
This is the democracy.
All right. Subway is the first one, and Subway can eat my whole asshole. So that's
number one?
That's how I feel. It's 23 biggest fast food
biggest.
Changes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Subway I eat at once a year. And it's almost always out of desperation. It's never a first choice for a sandwich.
Subway has a smell. Every location, really? Every Subway smells the same, and that smell carries with me. Like, I can't do it. Subway is disgusting. There's a million and one better sandwich options.
Sure. You go to Jersey Mike's. Hell, you go to Quiznos. Or you go to, we don't have Blimpies around here. I used to love Blimpies on the East Coast. Is there Blimpies in California?
Not that I've seen, no.
Okay. I love Blimpies. You know why? Because I'm getting hungry. Intermittent fasting. Subway, at least their reputation is they like weigh out the meat. Or they know how many slices. You gotta double the meat at Subway. You have to even have a sandwich.
Right.
Worthy, right?
Uh-huh. Otherwise, you're eating fucking lettuce and bread.
You're eating doughy bread rolls. But you know what? They did have a breakfast sandwich I had at Subway. Actually, was decent. I will say that. It got the job done. All right, so that's Subway.
McDonald's. McDonald's is there. I have an unfortunate love of fast food fish sandwiches, so I do love the filet of fish. And the quarter pounder with cheese, it's not as bad as people say. But I eat McDonald's 3-4 times a year. And
there are more Subways than McDonald's, according to this.
Yeah, that's
wow.
Nuts. Well, because Subway has that really bizarre, like, hyper-predatory franchising thing where, like, you can stack Subways on top of each other, and they'll just eat each other until one exists.
I guess there's not a lot of overhead with sandwiches, right. Probably, too.
Starbucks? I don't consider Starbucks fast food. Sorry. Continue.
Can I talk about McDonald's?
Yes.
Can I finish? I mean, McDonald's, to me, is... It just has to exist to be around, even though I rarely eat there. It's like twice a year I'll get McDonald's, or like at an airport I'll get like a McMuffin, something to tide you over.
Yeah.
But then if I add a McDonald's, I say, you know, I have to remember what an almost real burger tastes like. I guess they finally changed the meat out of McDonald's. You know, the McDonald's burger tastes like nothing else. No other burger.
Right.
And so I have to remind myself that, you know, it's a weird taste. But then you realize afterwards, I shouldn't be eating McDonald's.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I love those pressed pickles that are pressed into the bun that are imprinted like a shoe print.
That's how I feel about the quarter pounder with cheese. It's a reliable burger.
I used to love the Big Mac, though. Used to love it. All right, Starbucks to me is not fast food.
Pass.
They're a drug dealer.
Dunkin' Donuts.
It's a drug dealer. Starbucks.
Dunkin' Donuts, whatever.
No, not whatever. Dunkin' Donuts is great. I mean, Starbucks doesn't have delicious donuts and munchkins and breakfast sandwiches. It's like $2 for $4 for a croissant breakfast sandwich. Dunkin' Donuts is my go-to traveling, especially when you go to any sort of airport on the East Coast, you got to hit Dunkin' Donuts.
They're playing up. Egg and cheese is all right.
They're all good. Yeah. They're all good. So, yeah, Dunkin' Donuts is strong. They're finally on the West Coast here. Pizza Hut's not fast food to me. And the pizza's disgusting.
It's gross. Burger King? I like Burger King. I forget that Burger King exists.
We don't have a lot of them around here.
No.
There's one over here, but we don't have a lot of them around. There's less than half of the McDonald's here. I always loved the Whopper was always to me the best. The Flame Broiled thing, I don't know if it was fresh or not, but the Flame Broiled thing was for real. It wasn't just on a shitty, giant fry sheet. It was Flame Broiled. So I always liked Burger King. People like McDonald's fries better. I remember Burger King having. I've been to Burger King in 10 years. And I want to go.
Did you say McBurger King?
I always did. I always remember Burger King having better milkshakes than McDonald's.
That's true.
Yes. I always remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Always McDonald's having really weak milkshakes. They were just like, just that they're soft serve. You had to wait for it to melt, basically.
When I was growing up in Buffalo, Burger King was represented just about as much as McDonald's.
Same in New Jersey. There was almost a one for one.
And I liked Burger King better than McDonald's. Out here, sorry, though, there's like four of them.
There's not that many?
Yeah.
All right, Taco Bell. I've only been to Taco Bell once in my life. I know people swear by Taco Bell. I don't know. I can't. Being in San Diego, it'd be a sin if I went to a Taco Bell instead of a mom and pop Mexican place.
I love Taco Bell every once in a while. Vani does too. It's just, it's not Mexican food. It's Taco Bell.
Because they do their own creations that don't exist in nature.
Right, exactly. And that's the thing. When you look at a Taco Bell menu, the problem with Taco Bell is not a lot of variety. You think there's a lot of variety, but it's 100 things made with the same 5 things. Beans, cheese, tortillas. Sour cream, beef, and tortillas. So the only thing...
Can we make an octagon shell with triple layers?
The only thing from there is the beefy 5-layer burrito, because it's all of those ingredients just thrown in a tortilla, and here, you shit.
Is it pretty fast? Can they make it like eight?
It's fast. Minutes? Yes, it's very fast.
Because one time I went to one in New Jersey, it took like 25 minutes. I was like, what the hell's going on? I thought this was fast food.
It depends.
Because in New Jersey, not a lot of Mexican restaurants in New Jersey. So that was all you had, but I only been to one of them. So I'm actually surprised. There's almost as many Taco Bells as Burger Kings. I think that's the same company.
Both. Taco Bell, KFC, Burger. And Pizza Hut.
Oh, it's Pizza Hut? Okay. Because sometimes they do combos, right?
Yeah.
There'll be like a Taco Bell, Pizza Hut, or Baskin Robbins, Pizza Hut. There'll be like combos of things.
Right.
Together. All right. Wendy's is the greatest.
Wendy's is fantastic. Wendy's is amazing.
Wendy's was great because, they made fun of everyone who said, hey, our beef is fresh now. And Wendy's like, we always had fresh beef for our burgers. Like, how is that not a thing? And they were the OG before it was the value member. They were the first dollar menu like 15 years ago. Me and my cousin would go.
Were they? Because McDonald's had the 88-cent menu way, way back then.
The 2003 they did?
Before that. That really? Was high school. The 88-cent menu was high school.
Was that nationwide, though?
Yes.
I don't remember that, being a local.
It was the 88-cent value menu.
Okay. Was it a good value menu, or it was just like
a couple
things?
Was fine. But right. Wendy's, okay. I will say this. Okay. Wendy's dollar menu was the best one.
Now it's like value, because everything's like $2 now because of inflation. This is what we would do for the Wendy's. We would make a smorgasbord. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
You got your McNuggets for a dollar. You got your bacon cheeseburgers, your bacon cheeseburger. You get your baked potato for a dollar if you want. You get your chili. You get your drink. You get your small fries. Then you get your frosty for dessert.
Jesus.
I think we did that once. Maybe not the baked potato. I think I got just the chili. I've done that, though. I've done a 7-course dollar menu meal with my cousin before, and it's glorious, and it's good, and even the chili's good. The fries are they're not McDonald's fries, but they're decent, and the burgers are great.
And I will say this,
now they have the snack wrap. The snack wrap is legit. Grilled snack wrap is good too.
That's the chicken finger with the stuff, essentially.
No, but it's grilled though.
Yeah,
it's delicious though. It's a nice piece of meat, chicken.
I love Wendy's, and the thing I'll always give them credit for is having a goddamn baked potato on the menu.
Yeah.
Because I freaking love a baked potato.
And the salad. They're the first ones really have like the salads there that were worth a damn. And of course, our Twitter account is magical. And did you listen to the mixtape that came out a year or two ago? It was great.
No.
It was legit. It was great. So Wendy's will always be my favorite. I wish there was one locally. We have a shitty Jack in the Box local here. Hopefully that's not on the list here. What's next year?
Domino's.
Is Domino's better than Pizza Hut? I always forget if one's better.
These days, I think so, yes.
Because they did the relaunch 6-7 years ago. It's like, oh, we got real cheese now.
Yeah, we're using real cheese and real tomatoes. All right. Dairy Queen. I don't normally count Dairy Queen.
I've heard people that swear by Dairy Queen burgers as being good back in the day.
But
I've
heard a Blizzard. Do love a Blizzard.
But that's not fast. I mean, is ice cream fast food? It's not food. It's fast dessert.
A lot of them do like burgers and
fast food
stuff.
I know, but that's why it's like, why is the Blizzard upside down? All because it...
Show how thick they are.
I'd have a six-pack if Blizzards didn't exist. If I can tell you the amount of Blizzards I've eaten in my life.
They're so good. So good.
And of course, it's like the Friendly's Frenzy is the same thing, and then other... It's the soft serve with a pound of candy in it.
Mm-hmm.
Peanut butter cup, Reese's Pieces. All right. All right, I love Dairy Queen.
So the next one is pizza, but I'm going to say something about it. It's Little Caesars. Little Caesars is $5 and you get what you pay for that $5. It's fine.
For sure.
And the owner of Little Caesars paid Rosa Parks' rent until the day she died.
That's admirable. I will say this.
And the food is, it's $5. You can't expect it to be good, but it fills your stomach.
Admirable has nothing to do with the food quality. Little Caesars in the 90s was a pizza disruptor because when they got bigger in the early 90s, when it was like
fucking disruptor,
it was because even in New Jersey, because we had pizza, there were some Pizza Huts and Domino's in New Jersey, even though there was a, you know, you'd be no reason to go to because you have real pizzerias everywhere, but it was two pizzas for like $8, $9. One pizza cost you like 10 back then.
It's still two pizzas for $10 today.
No. But it wasn't the almost pizzas. They were real pizzas, like big pizzas you got then. And they were good quality. Maybe because it was New Jersey, the ingredients were more similar to, you know, a pizzeria's pizzas. But me and my dad, we got them every Sunday. We got them every Sunday for like a year. Because it's like, oh, 2 for $10. Pack and eat 4 slices and get even fatter when he's 9 years old. Anyway, they were good pizzas. I remember in the 90s. I don't know about today, but I remember they were good at the time. That's all. Not the $5 one, a regular Little Caesars pizza. Do people buy regular pizza or they're going for the $5 one?
You can buy. Yeah, I mean, they do other stuff. It's all cheap. You can do like a deep dish for $7. KFC is up next.
I'm not a fried chicken guy, so I'll pass.
I love fried chicken, but KFC, there's better options, and I'm sure we'll probably see some of
Popeyes
them.
Popeyes is going to show up.
Popeyes is better, and I like Church's Chicken. Let's see what we get, though.
Sonic. No, we had no Sonics. There's no Sonics in the tri-state area. There's only one or two in San Diego County itself. There's one in Pacific Beach. I only ate there once. I thought it was okay.
There's three now. There's
three?
Yeah.
I love the fact that they still do a drive-in thing where no one else does that. You give them props for that. They still have the roller skating, like waitresses, I think, at some locations. So I think that's a cute idea to still do that. Of course, they're famous for their drinks. They have like their after 8 or 9, it's like half-price drinks, and they have like all the different shakes, and they have the... You know, so that's cool. I can't comment on the food quality. I can't.
Sonic, it was a letdown. I like the idea of Sonic, but the food is not good.
The commercials are fantastic.
The drinks are good. I do like the drinks. I love me a slushy cherry limeade
shit. They have like 30 different varieties of slushies and milkshakes.
The drinks are great, but the food, not so much.
Not so much there.
Arby's.
I have no experience with Arby's.
Arby's.
They've got the meat.
Arby's is sandwich, a very weird, almost roast beef sandwich. I haven't eaten Arby's in forever. I liked it when I was younger.
You got the guy from Archer doing the commercial campaign right now?
Okay, sorry. Papa John's, literally the worst fast food pizza that you can get. The worst. It congeals within 10 minutes.
Is it worse than Domino's?
Yes.
I thought it was better when I had it in New Jersey. We ordered it once because it was cheap and local.
I don't know is, but that stuff, when it cools down, it's out of this world. It's out of this world. I've never seen any actual substance act like that.
I've only had it probably once or twice in my life. I can't comment. I've probably had it more than I've had Pizza Hut, believe it or not. I can't tell you what Pizza Hut tastes like.
Really?
Probably. Domino's, I can tell you how Domino's tastes like, because we'd have Domino's Day at the Catholic school where you'd put in, oh, it's Domino's Day. You'd have pizza slices like twice a year from Domino's. Everyone thought it was the best thing ever, even though it was Domino's. Even though there was a real pizzeria down the road that we should have ordered from.
In Catholic school, they did. They got pizza from Picasso's Pizza.
We had a McDonald's Day. That's healthy for kids to have. Order your McDonald's food, kids, in the cafeteria. Jimmy John's, the owner is a douchebag.
Yeah, the owner is an asshole, and I have no other experience than that.
I mean, how do you screw up sandwiches? I don't know, but...
I bet you he could.
Baskin-Robbins. have less experience with Baskin Robbins. We have one over here, a couple of them. Pretty good. I mean, it's good ice cream. It's fine.
It's fine.
I don't. They don't have food though. There, do they?
No.
It's not. But it's ice cream's not fast food.
This list is strange.
Cold Stone and Creamy is not fast food. Chipotle.
Chipotle is that thing. See, I think Chipotle
versus Taco Bell. I'd rather take it versus Taco Bell.
Chipotle, Taco Bell's like, yeah, we're not. We are not authentic. Don't worry about it. This place wants to be authentic, but it just fails so miserably.
It's just like a. It's just like a
that
cafeteria
this,
line of
this. Yeah, this is my true. Like, if I'm gonna get Chipotle, why wouldn't I just go someplace and get a real burrito?
I tell you what, though, you get a lot of bang for your buck at Chipotle, though. Those burritos are like the size of your head.
I got misdelivered some Chipotle at work the one day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's Christmas.
And, yeah, I was amazed. Like, I picked it up, and the thing's like a freaking football.
Yeah, it's a lot of value. It is, but, yeah, it's like, you know, assembly line burritos.
It's like Subway, but a burrito. Do you want this? Do you want this?
I had to tell my ex to stop bringing over Chipotle. She'd get the bowls, you know, without the so no carbs. Because I said, like, I can't eat this thing. This thing's gigantic.
Right.
There's just like rice and beans and meat and avocado. I mean, if you're starving, it'll do you.
Right.
Absolutely. All right. Next, what do we got? Here?
Jack in the Box.
All right. Jack.
No. The answer is
Jack in the Box has a weird reputation, I think, for a reason.
Yeah.
That it's like the bottom barrel.
Yeah.
Burgers?
It's cheap as shit.
I heard the tacos are actually decent. That's what I've heard.
The tacos are unique.
They're unique. You get a free taco, I think, if at the Padres game, they give out, you get a free taco of what happens? There's like a certain thing that has to happen, like a home run or something. I forget. They give you a voucher when you walk. At least they used to do that.
If I'm ever forced to go through a Jack in the Box drive-thru on a trip or something like that, I will get the tacos. They do not taste like tacos, but they taste like something.
Something. Okay.
Popeyes.
I have no experience with the Popeyes. Now they're getting the news because now they have their new chicken sandwich. They give Chick-fil-A a run for their money.
Popeyes is fantastic. The red beans and rice is one of my absolute favorite fast food sides. It's delicious.
There's as many Popeyes as there are Jack in the Boxes. Wow.
But I haven't had the new sandwich, but the chicken is good.
It's a better fried chicken?
Yes, it's better fried chicken.
It's better than KFC?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Way better than KFC.
Spices are better. It's cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
They have, like, shrimp, too. They have other stuff. It's, like, a Cajun thing, too. So you got, like, shrimp in there.
Yeah. So, oh, yeah, yeah. You can get, like, fish and stuff like that.
Now I want to go to Popeyes. I've never been to one. Is there a Popeyes around here?
There's Popeyes in San Diego. I just don't know if there's one, like, right near here.
Okay. Now I want to go to Popeyes. Chick-fil-A. People love Chick-fil-A. I'm not a fried chicken person. I'm not.
Overrated, but I did like the spicy chicken breakfast biscuit. That was the thing.
Chicken breakfast. So it's on a biscuit.
Yeah, it's just a spicy chicken biscuit instead of a sandwich. That was what that's what I would get there.
Gotcha. So there's as many of them as Popeyes. Now it's like Popeyes versus Chick-fil-A. They have literally almost the same amount of stores, according to this article. That they're very close. So I think it's interesting. All right. And then 23. What do we got? 23.
22 is Panera Bread.
I don't like Panera at all. I don't like Panera at all because it's like a hipster sandwich place, if that makes sense. And they charge you $5 for half a sandwich and like an apple.
It's stupidly expensive.
It's obscenely expensive. But like it's like the upper middle class hangout food place, but it's not even like healthy food. They're trying to be healthy. It's not.
Again, it's one of those places where like, if you're going to get a sandwich, just go to a deli and get a nice sandwich.
Go to a Subway instead of going to Panera.
I don't know about that. I hate Subway.
I hate Panera. I just can't explain to you how it's all marketing. It's just regular sandwiches and soups and a fucking apple with maybe a potato salad, and that's $30, sir. I mean, like, what? What happened? No, I hate Panera. I just hate it. Maybe they have fresh bread that's good. No, Panera, no.
All right.
I don't like Panera.
And last but not least, Panda Express.
All right. Panda Express is interesting.
Panda Express to me is the definition of does what it says on the tin, gets the job done. It's not exciting. I don't like it. I don't hate it. I'll eat it.
It's assembly line like Chipotle, but I would argue if I was going to go there, I can just go to a Chinese buffet because it's the same quality food.
Sure.
it's all sourced from the same place.
Yeah.
Your General Tso's chicken that you get at Pan Express, is it made fresh in the back?
No.
So that's the only thing. I think it's a little pricey. It's one of those things, I think, in a pinch, if you want Chinese food and you don't want to order from a place and wait, you know, and get it delivered like an authentic place, you go to Pan Express and get it. It's not bad food, but it's Chinese buffet food.
Yeah.
So there you have there. Anything missing from the list? Checkers is too regional.
I like Checkers and Rallies, though. I think those are pretty good.
Roy Rogers is the same as what? That's really a Hardee's?
No, Hardee's and Carl's are the same.
Which is also, I think they bought Roy Rogers. That's not on the list, but that's kind of regional as well, I believe.
Yeah.
I used to love Roy Rogers. Remember Roy Rogers? I think there's like two left that exist.
I never went to one.
You know why, Ian?
Hmm.
They had the Fixin's Bar.
Mmm. You ever been to Harvey's in Canada?
No.
I was just curious.
You cut off my Roy Rogers story. So this is, plus they had a salad bar. It was the only fast food place, Roy Rogers, that had a salad bar. So my grandma would take me. My grandma was kind of a penny pincher. She didn't get me those G.I. Joe figures at the flea market. I also think about that every day. Destro and Baroness. Anyway, so she would sneak me salad bar from hers to me. But if you love pickles, you basically make your own pickle tower. At Roy Rogers, you can just stack up the pickles with your. And Roy Rogers' food was like McDonald's quality, you know, it was in that neighborhood,
like a game of Pogs.
You know, it wasn't awesome this as well, which I haven't heard anything about. No Boston Market, it used to be Boston Chicken. I don't know if that's a good chain or not.
My friend's mother loved it.
It's like your Thanksgiving fast food.
Yeah, I've had it before. It was weird. It tastes like chicken.
It just tastes like chicken?
I mean, it's a fast food place where you can get a side of creamed spinach. So, I mean, it's there's nothing you can
get a vat of mac and cheese and a tub of mashed potatoes thrown in.
Yeah, and a whole roasted chicken.
I mean, we love roasted chicken.
Yeah, roasted chicken's good.
All right. So, all right, cool. Well, that was entertaining.
That was that.
I was trying to remember if there was no Five Guys on here and stuff like that.
Good. I hate Five Guys.
No In-N-Out, but those are more regional. Those aren't national chains.
You know? They're just not big enough. I mean, these are obviously the ones with all the money and the units.
The money and the power?
The money and the power.
Well, Pan Express has 2,000? Okay. All right.
All right. Well.
Okay, that's it for this CU podcast.
I think that's it for this CU podcast.
All right.
Toodaloo.
I can't wait for the tweets from Mr. Tallarico.
It'll be fun.
It is what it is at this point. At this point, it's silly. If you're a CEO of a company, you shouldn't be engaging in personal attacks and
yes,
podcasters. That just doesn't end well, usually. Just doesn't.
Surrounding yourself with yes men.
Or
in a small corner.
Not necessarily yes men. I don't know who he works with, but surrounding yourself with people that are just
People who are just going to say yes to no matter what.
That's true.
Anyway.
So, all right. Go to teespring.com/my-man-CU podcast for a certain my man shirt. And we'll be at the Portland Retro Gaming Expo in October 18th to 20th. And I'm going to be returning to Retro Game Con in Syracuse, New York. Took a year off last year, and that's November 2nd and 3rd. Go to RetroGameCon.com. And I'll have a certain Super Nintendo guidebook at these events for sure, unless something catastrophic happens. It's almost real wood. All right, that's Ian Ferguson. I'm Pat Contry. We'll see you in a week. Maybe Pat will have a tan then.